Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Charles Thomas with Impact Now Radio. We're going to go ahead and jump right into this. We're going to deal with the scriptures here and to continue to lay a foundation for this lesson. As we deal with just Jesus, no additives, the doctrine of inclusion, where it comes from. But tonight, I want to, before we really get into where it comes from, what it's talking about, we have to first begin to deal with one important issue, and that's dealing with free will. Because once we begin to understand free will, you will begin to see how the doctrine of inclusion misleads, how it actually leads you away from Christ and not to Him. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer and go ahead and move forward. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this night, this Sunday night, this June 31st, Lord God, or June 30th, Lord God. And Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that we all, Lord God, had cleared our hearts and minds before you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, if we have done that which is displeasing in your sight, in our hearts and our minds and our thought process, with our words, with our conduct, with our actions, Lord, we come to you, Lord God, and ask you for your forgiveness, Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Father, if we have offended anyone, Lord, we ask you to bring that back to our remembrance that we might go back and correct it, humble ourselves, and apologize to that person to correct that issue, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask you that you continue to search our hearts and begin to purify our hearts and our minds from everything that is defiling from that old nature. And Lord God, I just pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that we will live our life before you of constant repentance and prayer and worship, Lord God, that we might become part of that bride that's without spot and without wrinkle. And Lord God, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, as we deal with this lesson tonight, Lord God, help us to understand, Lord God, the importance of free will as it aligns with your plan, with your salvation, Lord God, and with us progressing in this walk and following the teachings of Jesus Christ through his own words and through his apostles, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, I just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you might get the glory, the praise, and the honor, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to just give you the number for to call in, for anyone that would call in, and also an email address for any of those that would like to contact, whether with questions, comments, concerns, or you might want to add on something, or you want to ask for prayer, or just have dialogue about the word, or you might was reading something that you might not understand, just need a little more clarity on it, feel free to call on any show or to send me an email, and I will respond to you as quickly as possible. Okay, that call-in number is 347-426-3065. Once again, 347-426-3065. Okay, we're going to go right into this in John chapter 3, starting at, let's start at verse 10, and it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." People hear that very clearly, the verse 15 of what I just read. It said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So here in this verse, and so many times we hear people that like to quote, you know, something, an easy verse, a key verse, an important verse, you know, that pertains to what God done and how it shows the heart of God for his creation. But at the same time, it is a scripture that is, I would say, grossly misunderstood or not looked at in the totality, because when we look at John chapter 3, we tend to only deal with verse 16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, here go the thing with that. Within that verse alone, we see a real key that is one that is not really, not too much light is shined on, that is tend to be overlooked or is in the shadow of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so therefore, everything that comes after that is just more so just a filler. But you have to understand this, that yes, God loves his creation, and he desires for his creation to come back into fellowship with him, like how his creation was before Adam fell. He wants that fellowship with his creation, with man and woman, the way he had it with Adam and Eve before Adam allowed sin to enter into the world through his disobedience. God was able to walk into the garden in the cool of the day, whatever, how often, I don't know whether if it's a few times a day, once a day at a certain time, you know, whether if it was every day, every other day. But God and his creation had constant fellowship to the point where God would just come in and it wouldn't miss a beat. They would just have that free-flowing love and communion and just fellowship and laughter with God, with his creation. But then Adam allowed the serpent to first deceive his wife, the woman, then allow the deception to get a hold of her, so where now the enemy was able to speak through her to him, and he partook of that which he was forbidden to partake of, and allowed sin to enter into the world, therefore cursing and damning everyone that would come out of his loins. So with that, as time went on, sin began to corrupt everything, therefore bringing a wedge between the communion and the fellowship of God and man. Because why? Sin smudges or blurs the image of God that's in him or that's in us. Therefore, there's no likeness that's in us that God could commune with. Because God being completely holy, completely pure, completely righteous, completely sanctified, he cannot be around that which is filthy without destroying it or writing off or doing away with, blotting out that filth. So if a sinful person was to come into the presence of a holy God, just by essence of his purity, we would be annihilated and destroyed by the brightness of his holiness because of the contrariness of sin that's in our life. So now, God thought of a way, a temporary way, in which what can be done for man to commune with God and on a consistent basis with in a ritualistic way that would somewhat provide a barrier in which man and God can commune, but in a way that's still limited compared to the fellowship that God and man once had. So what did he do? He provided man with the idea of a sacrificial atonement by therefore slaughtering a sheep, slaughtering cattle or something, and offering his blood as an atonement for that person's sin. Because now the reason why is blood, because life is in the blood. The body only runs because of the blood. This is why when a person gets stabbed or shot, when they lose certain amount of blood, they begin to lose the ability to breathe, because the oxygen or the air or the pneuma, which also is the word that is used for spirit, that flows through us, is housed within the blood, because the blood transports oxygen, which is air, which we would get the word pneuma, which in the Bible refers to spirit. So now what happens is the man lays his hand on the animal, transfers his sin to the animal, and the sin or the innocence of that animal is transferred to the man, and therefore the animal is killed and the blood or the life is offered up for a moment until that person sins again, and therefore got to do it all over again. But for that moment, that blood would cover them. But this was God's means until the time would come where everything is in line, where all sin is lost, where it seems like it's just hopeless, that it seems like men are just going to be damned because man is just not righteous enough to be able to do anything and to keep a consistent flow of being faithful to God without going into idolatry or spiritual adultery and worshiping other gods and things of that sort. So what did he do? His son, himself, the second person of the Godhead, God himself stepped in flesh that was provided by the womb or the body, the ovary of Mary. Then as she gave birth, he then entered into the world as the perfect man, because why? He did not come from the loins of a man, but by the spoken word or the seed of God as it was implanted into Mary and as she gave birth. Now we have a sinless man. Why? Because anytime you deal with genealogy, it goes based off the father. It doesn't go by the mother. It goes by the father. So whatever the father, it's just like if you had a white woman and an African man that got married or had intimacy and had a baby. Even though the child is mixed, but because the fact that the child or the blood or the genome or the DNA comes from the father, that child will be considered to be dominantly or African-American. Why? Because the father was that. So therefore, because of the fact that Jesus was born, not of natural man, but of his heavenly father. His heavenly father is completely righteous and holy. Therefore, making by default Jesus righteous and holy, the only person that's able to die for our sin. God's plan throughout time was to have a people that would be obedient to his word, that would try to the best they can to keep his word, to keep his laws, keep his precepts and everything to the best they can, to the best of their ability, to keep a righteous line that would keep his word, keep his laws, keep his statutes and all this stuff, to keep a pure line that the just and righteous one may come to redeem them. So, okay, now we speed it up. Jesus comes. He's here. Get ready to come. So now John 3, Nicodemus come to him at night, begin to talk all this stuff to him. Jesus responded, best said, you know, unless a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he can in no wise see nor enter into the kingdom of heaven. So now, then we come to John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So now, yes, Jesus died for everyone. He died, when he died with the mindset that any and everyone that would come to believe and keep on believing on me, in my name, my teachings, and my word, they would then become born again and begin to go through the process of being made a new person with the sin being washed out of their soul and being made into a whole new person again. That's what the whosoever is. That is for anybody. And people, do not believe these people out here, especially these guys, these cats out here, you know, the black Hebrew Israelites. Whether if they are really from any particular tribe or one of the 12 tribes, it really doesn't matter, because all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the last time I remember, all means all, everybody, everything, all encompassing, nothing excluded. Every Israelite without Jesus will be damned. Every Jew without Jesus will be damned. At the end, everybody has to come by way of that blood-stained cross through repentance and acknowledging of their sin, that they are a sinner, that they are in need of a Savior, and that they embrace and believe that Jesus did come from the Father, indwelled in flesh, walked righteous and holy, went to the cross, died, rose again on the third day, and ascended back to the Father. Without that, there is no salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He came to die for everyone. He just did not come and die for a black man, for a brown-skinned, olive-colored man, for a Hispanic, you know, Latino, a Colombian, you know, Ethiopian, dissident, a South African, East, West African, North African, an Egyptian, a Babylonian, Iraqi. He came to die for everyone. Yes, that is true. Yes, this is what, into some degree, that the doctrine of inclusion or universalism, as we begin to go on next week and stuff, as we begin to deal with the doctrine. But I believe it's important that you have to understand this one key thing. The one key operative word in this, in John 3, because it's in both 3:15 and 3:16, that the key word is whosoever. Whosoever. Listen, so okay, so now what we have to understand is it has to do with free will. Because the doctrine of inclusion would tell you that all men are saved no matter what, whether if they believe it or not. If that is the case, this is one point. If that is the case, then why preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why preach any of this? It should just be, hey, you know, we could come together, you know, just pray, sing some songs. It would be no need for teaching. It would be no need, you know, except for those who might want to know more, but you could just get on the Bible and tell them, or whatever, and tell them, okay, believe whatever it comes to your mind, hey, you know, go ahead, have it, go at it. But no, he said, whosoever will. So therefore, with that point, whosoever would that will believe in him, that is the key. Whosoever and that will believe in him. It is free will. You are not forced to believe this. You are not forced to accept Jesus Christ. You are not forced to say, because now to have, the, you know, God the Father to force this on you is no longer a free will, because now you have been forced to accept him. Therefore, it means that you are being told what to believe. Therefore, God becomes no different than Lucifer. He becomes no different than Lucifer, a.k.a. Satan, the devil, where he makes you. He becomes a tyrant. So with that being said, it is no longer free will. So that goes directly against the character of God of making us free moral agents, that we have the right to choose. We have the right to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be in eternal heaven with him forever, to be in his eternal majesty, in his kingdom forever. Or we could choose to be damned. We could choose to say, hey, I choose to believe whatever else I choose to believe. I choose to believe that I am God, that I am an ascended master going through the process of evolution. And then, hey, you have every God-given right to believe that. But just know that when you breathe your last breath and you stand face-to-face with your maker, you will be damned. To the script, and that's the part that people don't want to go on to, where, okay, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So now, if everybody is saved by the sacrificial atonement that Jesus provided on the cross, then whether if I'm already saved, then why am I condemned if I believe not? This is where it shows you, one, people, the ignorance, the brainwashing, but it also shows you the insanity of the devil. It shows you the insanity of Lucifer, because you don't even realize that one of the very scriptures that you use for the bedrock or a pillar of your belief in your doctrine and its inclusion, the very next verse tears it down. That if it's whosoever, then it would not be whosoever. It was that God gave his only begotten son, that all are saved, no matter what. It would have been changed up. But he said, whosoever that will believe in him shall be saved. So therefore, if we are already saved, then there should be no whosoever, because everybody's already saved. But it shows you the lie, the brainwashing, the manipulation that is in this, because you have people that want to tell you these things and want to teach you these different things, but yet because they don't want to believe it the way the Lord tells them to believe it, they want to start teaching you off some crazy doctrine, some crazy teachings. They want to start, you know, giving you some off-the-wall stuff. And so, once again, we have to understand free will. We have to understand the fact that, okay, in the process of understanding this teaching, that, yes, we should desire to see everyone saved. God, by way of his Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, in the second letter of the Apostle Peter to the brethren, he says that that God desires not to see any man perish dead, but that all should come to repentance. Now, that's another scripture that totally debunks the whole thing. If everybody is already saved, then why do God desire to desire not to see anyone perish, but that all should come to repentance? You see what I'm saying? It makes no sense, because there's no corresponding scripture across the board that would agree. Now there's some open-ended scriptures that would seem to corroborate the fact that, yes, that all men are saved regardless. And yes, based off of research I've done, that the early people, even some of the apostles, based off of the word and based off of language, believed that everyone was going to be saved eventually. But we have to understand this. It's one thing of wanting to see everyone saved because the way has already been provided, easy to embrace. It is another thing when you do not take for account man's free will. So now the thing becomes is that, yes, the power of for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So therefore, we get the gospel out there by presentation, by speaking, by sharing it, by our lifestyle to people. But on the flip hand, we have to take into account that man has the God-given right to say no, just like Pharaoh. When God sent Moses to Pharaoh and to tell him to let my people go, Pharaoh said, "Who is this God? Or who is this Yahweh, this Jehovah God? I know of no such God, isn't it? Who is he?" And you know, and he said, "I will not let these people go." And yeah, he thought he was big and bad, and you know, thought he was going to be able to, you know, talk that, you know, talk that big stuff. But what happened? Each time God sent Moses back to Pharaoh to tell him to let his people go, and God sent another plague. God sent another plague and another miracle. That was Pharaoh's chance to embrace the power and the reality of God to be saved, but he didn't. Why? Because he chose to embrace what he always believed in his heritage, the Egyptian gods of Ra and Horus and Isis and Osiris and Anubis and Anubis and all these other different, Isis and Nimrod and Semiramis. And so with that being said, remember and read the scripture, John chapter 3, verse 10 to verse 19. And remember this key word, free will. As we go forward in this teaching, we're going to begin to see that in these doctrines, it's not free will applied. You are forced, or in an underhanded way, you are forced to believe that Jesus Christ has already died for you, when yet you have a Muslim that tells you that Jesus is not a savior, he's just a prophet. So what do you tell that person? So with that being said, I want to say thank you for the opportunity of sharing this with you. And once again, the number and my email address, hit me up. This is Charles Thomas with Impact Now Radio. Good night.